Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. So how was your journey this evening? Probably a bit crowded, a bit slower than you'd like, no doubt a bit frustrating. And with an extra 250,000 people expected to move into Hertfordshire by 2034, things are set to get a whole lot worse. What we need is a plan for how we're all going to be able to get to work, to school and all the other places we need to go for the next 15 years. Which is exactly what the Hertfordshire County Council have set out in the latest draft of their local transport plan, which they're asking for your thoughts on right now. Councillor Derek Ashley, Cabinet Member for Environment, Planning and Transport for Hertfordshire County Council, spoke to me earlier. Derek, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So perhaps we could just start briefly. What is a local transport plan? Is it something that's directional or is it just an aspirational thing?
Basically, it is directional. We are looking a long, long way into the future. And what we're trying to do is develop some policies that can inform all the district council local plans, both through this plan and the future plans, right the way through to the middle of the century. And the key message for this transport plan is that we've got to start to look at different ways of getting people around, and we can't just continue to build roads all the time, and we have to recognise that we have to find other ways to encourage people to move around, whether it's walking, cycling, public transport.
Yeah.
It's not a panacea for everything, but certainly we do believe that that's the direction of travel we need to start to move.
Excellent.
In.
Well, I'm sure that that many of our listeners will be very pleased to hear that. So you want a big change in our behaviour. What will the County Council and perhaps other councils be doing to encourage us to do that?
Well, of course, we're very reliant upon the local planning authorities to ensure that all of the plans they enact are pushing us in the right direction. There's not going to be a big bang here. What we expect there to be small incremental decisions that actually head us into the right direction. Sometimes these decisions may be very small and very tactical and very local, but nevertheless, over the years, by nudging our way along, I think is probably the best way to describe it. We cannot do anything on a big bang basis in Hertfordshire. It is a question of just trying to turn the oil tanker around, if you want to use that analogy.
Right.
And that does take a fair time.
Okay, so it's perhaps a cycle path here, a pedestrian crossing here, a bit more funding for a bus there, whatever.
And what is very important, if I might add, it's very important that local planning authorities, when they take decisions, actually make sure they are just, as I said, nudging us in the right direction and not actually nudging us in the wrong direction, if you see what I mean.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
There are examples around where, for example, you know, a local planning authority might make some improvements to a bus lay-by or a bus lane, and there are other local authorities who might say, well, let's reduce the price for car parking. Well,
yeah.
Of course, to some extent, that's heading us off in the wrong direction.
But does the transport plan, will it bind the planning authorities?
No, it won't actually bind them, but they will be expected to take it into account.
Right.
As they make planning decisions.
Yeah.
And of course, some of these new facilities, if that's the right word, will have to be funded locally.
Yes.
Through planning gain on various new developments, and some of the, if they're very what I would call big ticket items that require substantial amounts of expenditure, millions and millions, we will obviously be active in bidding into any funding mechanisms they are from central government.
Right, okay. So just moving on to St Albans is marked as a sustainable travel town. So perhaps could you just tell us what that might involve?
Well, we start from the premise that Hertfordshire is a very, very difficult county to plan transport-wise. We have no big centre that everyone's coming into, which means that park and ride can work pretty well or anything else. We have a number of small towns. The journeys are myriad and complex. However, within towns themselves, we do believe we can make some progress. We do believe within towns themselves, we ought to be able to persuade people not to use their car for very short journeys, for example, because we've got decent alternatives in terms of pedestrian, cycle access, and indeed sometimes improvement to local bus services. So we do believe we make an impact in the towns themselves. whilst recognising that a lot of people, the car will be the only method of transport across the county between a lot of towns.
Indeed. So what will if now that St Albans, or if it is does become a sustainable travel town, what differences can we expect to see here?
Well, it's going to be a matter of what the St Albans City and District Council decide to do. For the most part, we will be encouraging positive and radical thinking, actually, in terms of how we move around our towns.
Okay.
We have to look at where we have unlimited car access and make decisions as to whether, for example, we want to look at St Peter Street again as to whether you let our cars along St Peter Street. Now, yeah. This is a planning decision primarily in consultation and in partnership with St Albans City and District Council. Right. But these are the kind of things we need to think about.
OK, so for instance, things like there's been a call around St Albans for an urban-wide 20-mile-an-hour zone, which I understand that Herts County Council hasn't supported. Could we see a change in that policy in the future?
Well, 20-mile-an-hour zones are very popular, and personally, I think there is some way to go to implement more of them. We have introduced 20-mile-an-hour zones in some urban areas around the county, and we have to see how those work in practice. There is an issue about enforcement, which we need to consider on 20-mile-an-hour zones. Personally, I'm sympathetic to it, yeah. And I would hope we make more progress towards that.
Excellent. Well, that would certainly fit in with the tenor of what else you're saying, and certainly the things that you seem to be hoping to achieve. Okay, well, I've got a couple of questions here from St Albans Cycle Campaign. Obviously, this document is of great interest to them. They want to know what percentage of the transport budget will be allocated to active travel. They think that it should be at least 10% and that there should be a planned increase. Is that the kind of numbers you think you'll be talking about?
Well, it's a question of what it's 10% of what. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes we can get to a much higher figure than that if we've got a particular development. What we are hoping with the strategic developments that are now emerging from all the local plans, we'll be able to make a big impact in those developments on improved cycling connections, both between the developments and the towns and development themselves. So I wouldn't want to put a figure on it.
But doesn't Herts County Council have a budget for transport?
We have an overall budget.
And what kind of percentage of that do you think will be going on active travel?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, the problem is you get yourself tied down in percentages, and sometimes it's not doing that section any justice. I mean, there may be cases where we spend a very substantial amount of our transport budget in 1 year on cycle and pedestrian issues within a particular town. So it's a bit of a moving feast. But I think...
But you'll be looking to increase whatever it is that you're spending now on active transport. You're looking to...
I would hope we could, but we do need cooperation from the local planning authorities. I keep saying that.
Yeah, OK. Because historically... We're clear on that.
Historically... you know, many planning authorities have actually drawn back from some of these things because they get a lot of protests from the motoring lobby.
Okay.
So we have to tread fairly carefully here. But we, you know, as I say, it is to some extent nudging things along.
Okay.
And it's up to people who live in the towns to put pressure on the planning authorities to say, look, what are you doing about this? Because Hertfordshire County Council, whilst we are a strategic transport provider, we are in the hands, to some extent, of what local planning authorities decide to do.
Okay. So, Councillor Ashley, I've got a question here that's from Abfly, who are the users of the Abbey Line, which is the train line that goes to Watford from St.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Abfly.
Excellent. Now, they want to ask the question, is the conversion of the Abbey Flyer to a bus rapid transit scheme for the Abbey Line, is that definitely ruled out?
Yes.
It is. Excellent. Well, that's a nice quick answer for that one then.
That's not to say in the year 2130 something else might happen, but as far as this is concerned, yes.
For the life of the... We can only talk as far as this local transport plan, can't we? And whilst we're on public transport, we do have a lot of people who are concerned about bus cuts. You talk about enhancing the attractiveness of bus travel in your plan. Will there be any money going the way of buses so that the services can be increased?
Well, I mean... We've got quite a vibrant commercial network in Hertfordshire. Where we have a problem is funding the services to the rural areas by and large. We can continue to keep that under review. We've got another project we're just about to kick off, looking at the whole of the transport system in the county, all the various transport resources, to see if we can get better value out of it. But as far as sustainable transport towns are concerned, most of the services in the towns are commercial. Now, there is an issue around evening services, which we hope we can talk to the commercial operators a bit more about this. But most of the services in the towns are, in fact, commercial, and we believe that's a sound base to bring forward some sustainable town ideas and policies. Now, making it more attractive, I think, is very important. And some of the operators are investing in brand-new vehicles. Arriva in particular has spent a lot of money on new vehicles on the 321 route, for example, when they've increased the frequency. So we are working with those operators. Under the new Bus Act, we are allowed is the wrong term. We will be taking up some extra powers that include more information from operators on the level of ridership on their services, more data on costs, and more data on their fare structures, etc., etc. We're also looking at whether it might be possible to take over the role of the traffic commissioner, which is the licensing authority, so we've got more direct access and control over the commercial network. So there's a lot of things in the pipeline that we are looking at, and the Bus Act, I think, will help us.
Okay.
But we are in a situation where most of the system is operated commercially, and it's in everyone's interest that those commercial operators should be encouraged to enhance and deliver better services. So we hope that's one way forward.
Right. Excellent. So the local transport plan is currently out for consultation. You're asking for our comments on it.
Yes.
Could you help me with when the consultation finishes?
Finishes on the 23rd of January.
Right. Okay. So we've got a little while yet.
So it's quite a long time. A bit of light reading over Christmas and all that kind of thing.
Indeed. Well over 100 pages. This is quite a substantial undertaking.
Can I make one point on that?
Yes.
We have to consult on an awful lot of things, as you appreciate, some of which are very, very technical.
Yes.
I believe this is one of the better consultation documents they've actually produced. I think it's very readable and very accessible and not bogged down with a lot of technical detail. So I do hope people feel that when they read it, at least it's understandable.
I would agree. It isn't in technical language. It is just in plain English. And there is an executive summary to help you if you're a little more short of time. Having said that, obviously it's been a long time in the making. Are you really going to be listening to our responses at this stage? Will any changes be possible if that's the kind of thing that comes to light is wanted?
Yes, we will. We will. But of course, we'll have to take account of all the responses.
Yes.
Now, of course, many people will say, 5,000 people said this and you took no notice. Well, if 5,000 people respond and say we want free car parking in every town, I'm afraid that's not on the table.
Right. Okay.
If you see what I mean.
Yes.
So we will take account of all the responses.
Things have to be realistic.
Things have to be realistic. Right. Okay. And things have to really... gel with what's in the strategy.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, if we get massive responses, which people and people say, I want you to cut all the bus services if I can use my car more, clearly we'll have to listen to that, and we'll be facing some difficult decisions. But rest assured, we will be taking note. We had a previous stakeholder consultation before this went out, which went to those with particular interests, local authorities and special interest groups, and as a result of that, certain things were amended in the plan anyway. So it's a living document, and we will be taking note of what people say.
Excellent.
And as I say, I would encourage as many people to respond as possible.
Yes.
Tell us what they like, tell us what they don't like.
Excellent. Councillor Derek Ashley, thank you very much indeed. I was talking there to Councillor Derek Ashley, and if you'd like to have your say on the County Council's plans, all the details for the local transport plan and the consultation are available on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Now, Councillor Ashley should be delighted to hear that the St Albans Cycle Campaign want to keep us cycling even through the cold winter months. They're holding a free meeting called Get Ready for Winter in the Methodist Church Hall, Marlborough Road, St Albans, on Wednesday, the 22nd of November. That's next Wednesday, starting at 7:30. Entry is free. Everybody's welcome. They say that you can, of course, keep cycling throughout the winter if you are prepared for the weather and the riding conditions. At the meeting, you'll learn how to maintain your bike and get ready for winter, discover the road skills that you'll need to keep you safe in the winter weather, find out how to keep warm and dry, and also get an update on St Albans Cycle Campaign activities. The main speaker will be Neil Watts of Addiction Cycles, that's a local cycle shop, who'll be demonstrating the basic skills in looking after your cycles and preparing them for any bad weather, and he'll also explain how to choose suitable equipment, lights, clothing, food and drink, and get advice on riding techniques in icy or wet conditions. So everybody's welcome. That's Get Ready for Winter at the Methodist Church Hall, Marlborough Road, St Albans, next Wednesday, starting at 7:30. And on this Sunday, you can plant trees at Hartwood Forest between 10 and 3. Go to the main car park and you'll be taken to the planting area. Make sure you're dressed appropriately. Trees and spades will be provided. And it's a great chance for you to become part of this fabulous forest, whoever you are, but particularly if you've got kids. It's a really special way for them to see trees that they've planted grow up with them. And so, anyway, for next week, further to my series of interviews on the problem of plastic waste and the plastic bottle deposit scheme that's being considered, a number of you said that you'd like to hear from someone in the industry. So that's what we'll be doing next week. So until the same time next week, thank you for listening.